Welcome back to Praying with Scripture, everyone. I know this is a precious time, and time is at a premium, so I thank you for joining me on this short podcast of Praying with Scripture. We're going to do the Divine Office morning prayer for Holy Tuesday, and then we're also going to do a shortened liturgy of the Word, very, very short. Let us begin by praying for our Holy Father Pope Francis's monthly intentions. And yes, I want to acknowledge all the people who feel angry toward Pope Francis and have disagreed with decisions that he made. We're not saying that makes them bad or anything, but we are just saying Holy Week, especially this year, but especially during Holy Week this year, is a time where we focus on the character of our baptism, the character of our ordination, how God has marked us with an indelible character to gather us together as one family. So let's all gather together around Pope Francis to offer the world back to God through Christ. Let us pray that the use of the new technologies will not replace human relationships, will respect the dignity of the person, and will help us face the crises of our times. I think that's very, very important. I think he specifically means like social networking and other types of online communication and telecommunication, but at the same time, medical technology, virtual reality technology, there's just a whole landscape of new technologies that are going to reshape the way we do things. And we want to also pray that those technologies will be guided, enlightened, and strengthened by God's Spirit, and that we will discern between the progress of technology and the progress of our obedience to the reign of God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effect of grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. All right. Morning prayer. God, Father, praise and glory, your children come to sing. Goodwill and peace to mankind, the gifts your kingdom brings. O most holy Trinity, undivided unity, holy God, mighty God, God immortal, be adored. And you, Lord, co-eternal, God's sole begotten Son. O Jesus, King anointed, you have redemption won. O Holy Ghost, Creator, gift of God most high, love and life and holy wisdom our weakness now supply. Our Holy Week antiphon is very special. O Lord, defend my cause, rescue me from deceitful and impious men. And then we're going to pray Psalm 43, longing for the temple. I have come into the world to be its light, Jesus says in John chapter 12, verse 46. Defend me, O God, and plead my cause against a godless nation from deceitful and cunning men. Rescue me, O God, since you, O God, are my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go mourning, oppressed by the foe? O send forth your light and your truth. Let these be my guide. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. And I will come to the altar of God, the God of my joy. My Redeemer, I will thank you on the harp. O God, my God, why are you cast down my soul? Why groan within me? Hope in God, I will praise him still, my Savior and my God. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In honor of Mary's gifts from God our Father, we pray for deliverance, for healing, for peace, for protection, for guidance, for a greater likeness to you, a greater imaging and knowledge of how we image you and how we are good, but also how we can change. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Lord, send forth... Blessed be you, glory to you, who send forth your light and your truth. O Lord, defend my cause. Rescue me from deceitful and impious men. Lord my God, you defended my cause. You ransomed my life. And then we're going to pray a prayer from Isaiah 38. I believe it's the one Hezekiah, he prays. And God extends his life. The anguish of a dying man and joy in his restoration. Once I said, in the noontime of life I must depart. To the gates of the netherworld I shall be consigned for the rest of my years. I said, I shall see the Lord no more in the land of the living. No longer shall I behold my fellow men among those who dwell in the world. My dwelling, like a shepherd's tent, is struck down and borne away from me. You have folded up my life like a weaver who severs the last thread. Day and night, you give me over to torment. I cry out until the dawn. Like a lion, he breaks all my bones. Day and night, you give me over to torment. Like a swallow, I utter shrill cries. I moan like a dove. My eyes grow weak, gray, gazing heavenward. O Lord, I am in straits. Be my surety. You have preserved my life from the pit of destruction when you cast behind your back all my sins. For it is not the netherworld that gives you thanks, nor death that praises you. Neither do those who go down into the pit await your kindness. The living give you thanks as I do today. Fathers, declare to their sons, O God, your faithfulness. The Lord is our Savior. We shall sing to stringed instruments in the house of the Lord all the days of our life. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord my God, you defended my cause. You ransomed my life. In honor of Mary's gifts from God the Son, we're just going to pray for her to pray for all of our needs and help us to be saved. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And again, the antiphon for that one was, Lord my God, you defended my cause, you ransomed my life. Again, putting us within that moment of Jesus' last week on earth, where he will not be delivered in his flesh, but he will be giving up his life to share his life and receiving a new type of life as he enters into Easter. My servant, the just one, will justify many by taking their sins on himself, is our next antiphon. Psalm 65, solemn thanksgiving. Zion represents heaven, says Origen of Alexandria. To you our praise is due in Zion, O God. To you we pay our vows, you who hear our prayer. To you all flesh will come with its burden of sin. Too heavy for us are offenses, but you wipe them away. My servant, the just one, will justify many by taking their sins on himself. Blessed is he whom you choose and call to dwell in your courts. We are filled with the blessings of your house, of your holy temple. My servant, the just one, will justify many by taking their sins on himself. You keep your pledge with wonders, O God, our Savior, the hope of all the earth and of far distant isles. You uphold the mountains with your strength. You are girded with power, You still the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. My servant, the just one, will justify many by taking their sins on himself. The ends of the earth stand in awe at the sight of your wonders, the lands of sunrise and sunset you fill with your joy. My servant, the just one, will justify many by taking their sins on himself. You care for the earth, give it water, you fill it with riches. Your river in heaven brims over to provide its grain. My servant, the just one, will justify many by taking their sins on himself. And thus you provide for the earth, you drench its furrows, you level it, soften it with showers, you bless its growth. My servant, the just one, will justify many by taking their sins on himself. You crown the year with your goodness, abundance flows in your steps. In the pastures of the wilderness it flows. The hills are girded with joy, the meadows covered with flocks. The valleys are decked with wheat. They shout for joy. Yes, they sing. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In honor of Mary's gifts from the Holy Spirit, her divine spouse, and Christ's power and right hand worker, turn your mercy upon us, your compassion upon all of us. Teach us to thank you now and to thank you more as you restore, heal, and nourish and strengthen us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. My servant, the just one, will justify many by taking their sins on himself. Let us have the longer reading from the Office of Readings, just 13 verses from Hebrews chapter 12. The verse introducing the lesson is, "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." Let us go forth in the struggle with Christ as our leader is the caption the church has chosen. Since we are surrounded by this cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every encumbrance of sin which clings to us and persevere in running the race which lies ahead. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who inspires and perfects our faith. For the sake of the joy which lay before him, he endured the cross, heedless of its shame. He has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Remember how he endured the opposition of sinners. Hence, do not grow despondent or abandon the struggle. In your fight against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. Moreover, you have forgotten the encouraging words addressed to you as sons. My sons, do not disdain the discipline of the Lord, nor lose heart when he reproves you. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He scourges every son he receives. Endure your trials as the discipline of God, who deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you do not know the discipline of sons, you are not sons but bastards. If we respected our earthly fathers who corrected us, should we not all the more submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us as seemed right to them, to prepare us for the short span of mortal life. But God does so for our true profit, that we may share his holiness. At the time it is administered, all discipline seems a cause for grief and not for joy. But later it brings forth the fruit of peace and justice to those who are trained in its school. So strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees. Make straight the paths you walk on, that your haltering limbs may not be dislocated but healed. responsory prayer. Jesus, the beginning and end of our faith, endured the cross, heedless of the shame, and for the sake of the joy that would follow it. He is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He humbled himself by showing obedience, even when this meant death. He is seated now at the right hand of the throne of God. Our second reading is from the book On the Holy Spirit, which is called, the name is On the Holy Spirit, by St. Basil, Bishop. By one death and resurrection, the world was saved. When mankind was estranged from him by disobedience, God, our Savior, made a plan for raising us up from our fall and restoring us to friendship with himself. According to this plan, Christ came in the flesh. He showed us the gospel way of life. He suffered, died on the cross, was buried, and rose from the dead. He did this so that we would be saved by imitation of him and recover our original status as sons of God by adoption. To attain holiness, then, we must not only pattern our lives on Christ's by being gentle, humble, and patient, we must also imitate him in his death. Taking Christ for his model, Paul said that he wanted to become like him in his death, in the hope that he too would be raised from death to life. We imitate Christ's death by being buried with him in baptism. If we ask what this kind of burial means and what benefit we may hope to derive from it, it means, first of all, a complete break with our former way of life. And our Lord himself said that this cannot be done unless a man is born again. In other words, we have to begin a new life. And we cannot do so until our previous life has been brought to an end. When runners reach the turning point on a race course, they have to pause briefly before they can go back in the opposite direction. So also, when we wish to reverse the direction of our lives, there must be a pause, or a death, to mark the end of one life and the beginning of another. Our descent into hell takes place when we imitate the burial of Christ by our baptism. The bodies of the baptized are, in a sense, buried in the water as a symbol of their resurrection, of their renunciation of the sins, of their unregenerate nature. As the Apostle says, "The circumcision you have undergone is not an operation performed by human hands, but the complete stripping away of your unregenerated nature." This is the circumcision that Christ gave us, and it is accomplished by our burial with him in baptism. Baptism cleanses the soul from the pollution of worldly thoughts and inclinations. "You will wash me," says the psalmist, "and I shall be whiter than snow." We receive this saving baptism only once, because there was only one death and one resurrection for the salvation of the world, and baptism is its symbol. Responsory prayer. By being baptized into Christ Jesus, we have all shared in his death. We become one with him by dying as he did. Therefore, we shall be one with him also in rising to new life. By our baptism, we were buried with him. We shared in his death. We shall be one with him also in rising to new life. Father, give me the glory I had with you before the world was made. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Father, give me the glory that I had with you before the world was made. At this point, I'm just going to switch to the shortened liturgy of the word, since we're going to finish that liturgy of the word with the last parts of the office of morning prayer. I just bless God for this opportunity to share with you and to pray and preside at this wonderful ceremony during Holy Week of praying with Scripture. I love this one. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So beautiful. I love that prayer. All right. My brothers and sisters, let us take a moment to acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate our little office of readings or readings from the Mass today. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Thank you for helping me recover the joy in my apostolate, in my preaching, and in my life this Easter and this Holy Week. Almighty, ever-living God, grant us so to celebrate the mysteries of the Lord's Passion that we may merit to receive your pardon. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. The caption the church has for this reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49, 1 through 6 is, I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Hear me, O islands. Listen, O distant peoples. The Lord called me from birth. From my mother's womb, he gave me my name. He made of me a sharp-edged sword and concealed me in the shadow of his arm. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me. You are my servant, he said to me, Israel, through whom I show my glory. Though I thought I had toiled in vain and for nothing uselessly spent my strength, yet my reward is with the Lord. My recompense is with my God. For now the Lord has spoken, who formed me as his servant from the womb, that Jacob may be brought back to him and Israel gathered to him. And I am made glorious in the sight of the Lord, and God is now my strength. It is too little, he says, for you to be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the survivors of Israel. I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And just out of having this in the liturgy of the word, we're going to pray another psalm, Psalm 71. The antiphon and responsory for it is, I will sing of your salvation. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your justice, rescue me and deliver me. Incline your ear to me and save me. I will sing of your salvation. Be a rock of refuge, a stronghold to give me safety. For you are my rock and my fortress. O God, rescue me from the hand of the wicked. I will sing of your salvation. For you are my hope, O Lord, my trust, O God, from my youth. On you I depend from birth. From my mother's womb you are my strength. I will sing of your salvation. My mouth shall declare your justice, day by day your salvation. O God, you have taught me from my youth, until the present I proclaim your wonderful deeds. I will sing of your salvation. The verse before the gospel is, Hail to you, O our King. Hail to you, our King, obedient to the Father. You were led to the crucifixion like a gentle lamb to the slaughter. One of you will betray me. The cock will not crow before you deny me three times. This is the caption. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. This is just skipping three verses in John, but it's from chapter 13. Reclining at table with his disciples, Jesus was deeply troubled and testified, "Amen, amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, at a loss as to whom he meant. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter nodded to him to find out whom he meant. He leaned back against Jesus' chest and said to him, "Master, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I hand the morsel after I have dipped it." So he dipped the morsel and took it and handed it to Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot. After Judas took the morsel, Satan entered him. So Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do quickly." Now, none of those reclining at table realized why he said this to him. Some thought that since Judas kept the money bag, Jesus had told him, "Buy what we need for the feast, or to give something to the poor." So Judas took the morsel and left at once, and it was night. When he had left, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and he will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. You will look for me, and as I told the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. So now I say it to you." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, though you will follow later." Peter said to him, "Master, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Amen, amen, I say to you, the cock will not crow before you deny me three times." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So again, just reading the readings, sometimes reading them out loud to yourself can help facilitate that kind of, wow, this is really interesting, makes me pay attention, makes me place myself there kind of effect that we often try for in Lectio Divina, for that attentiveness. And it's just really awesome, right, to follow those instructions from our second reading on Saturday and try to relate ourselves to one of the people in the passage, or even multiple people at different times. I'm going to lead us in the Apostles' Creed, or the Nicene Creed, and then we'll have those last parts from the morning prayer added in to finish the Liturgy of the Word. But yes, there's just a lot that we could go over. We're almost at our half hour of reflection on the Word of God for our plenary indulgence. "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things, visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation he came down from heaven and became man. By the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church, and I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray to Christ our Savior, who redeemed us by his death and resurrection. Lord, have mercy on us. You went up to Jerusalem to suffer and so enter into your glory. Bring your church to the Passover feast of heaven. You were lifted high on the cross and pierced by the soldier's lance. Heal our wounds. You made the cross the tree of life. Give its fruit to those reborn in baptism. On the cross, you forgave the repentant thief. Forgive us our sins. Again, we take a minute to pray for one another, to pray for all the members of this prayer group that we access through the website on audiovisual, to pray for Bill, especially, to have his intentions for granted to him, for Henry to be able to find a path to a better future, for Julia in her health struggles to be guided and protected by God and restored back to where she should be, spreading and teaching his word. For all the people, especially our dear priests, who have helped oversee and teach us, whether that be our parish pastors, role models, even deacon or catechists, who have made a big impact on us. And I have them in mind, you picture them in your mind, and we say together for all of our intentions, Lord, have mercy on us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Father, may we receive your forgiveness and mercy as we celebrate the passion and death of the Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. So again, we reflected on the Word of God in the Lord's Prayer and the Gospel that it summarized. We talked about how things like race relations, peace, and women's rights are important. They are not necessarily to be layered on as if they are identical with the gospel or the progress of the reign of God, I mean, but they're important. And we talked about how we don't layer them over one another, but they're interlaced somehow. And there's some interesting discussions about whether we are more holy than 300 years ago or less holy, and in what ways. So we started talking about holiness with hallowed be thy name. And we had just begun that. So let's start reading what the church teaches us about how to open up the petition, hallowed be thy name. In the decisive moments of his economy, God reveals his name, but he does so by accomplishing his work. This work then is realized for us and in us only if his name is hallowed by us and in us. The holiness of God is the inaccessible center of his eternal mystery. What is revealed of it in creation and history, Scripture calls glory, the radiance of his majesty. In making man in his image and likeness, God crowned him with glory and honor. But by sinning, man fell short of the glory of God. From that time on, God was to manifest his holiness by revealing and giving his name, in order to restore man to the image of his Creator. In the promise to Abraham and the oath that accompanied it, God commits himself, but without disclosing his name. He begins to reveal it to Moses and makes it known clearly before the eyes of the whole people when he saves them from the Egyptians. He has triumphed gloriously. From the covenant of Sinai onward, this people is his own, and it is to be a holy or consecrated, the same word is used for both in Hebrew, nation, because the name of God dwells in it. In spite of the holy law that again and again their God gives them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord, am holy, it says, quoting the book of Leviticus, that although the Lord shows patience for the sake of his name, the people turn away from the Holy One of Israel and profane his name among the nations. For this reason, the just ones of the old covenant, the poor survivors returned from exile, and the prophets burned with passion for the name. Finally, in Jesus, the name of the Holy God is revealed and given to us. in the flesh as Savior, revealed by what he is, by his word, and by his sacrifice. This is the heart of his priestly prayer. Holy Father, ellipses, for their sake I consecrate myself, that they may be consecrated in truth. Because he sanctifies his own name, Jesus reveals to us the name of the Father. At the end of Christ's Passover, the Father gives him the name that is above all names. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Come back to this even more next time. I hope you're continuing to have a very good and holy week. I offer my plenary indulgence. I think I also get a partial indulgence for teaching a catechesis as well. So I offer those for the soul or souls in purgatory that need God's help. And I hope that you will find what you really, truly need and will lead you to a better life this Easter. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.